back to FinTalk, brought to you by Venmo. Here we discuss pressing topics in fintech, regtech, covering regulatory, collateral and digital across banking and insurance and finance. Venmo has been proud to deliver innovative software solutions in the industry with stability and cost efficiency for our global watchdog clients. With over 20 years of trusted transformation in finance and insurance, we're bringing industry's top expertise to FinTalk. I'm Jared Akhtar, and I'll be your host for this podcast. Welcome back to FinTalk, brought to you by Vermic. I'm Jared Akhtar, your host. Today, you have with me Michael Lawrence from Bubbles. Michael, thank you.
Pleasure. Good to be here.
So today, we're going to talk about consumer duty. So last time I spoke on consumer duty was kind of, this time last year, actually, talking kind of leading up to the July deadline of 2023. We're now kind of into 24. What's happened? What's traction? You know, what's the kind of market feedback that you've got so far?
Sure. I mean, there's probably two angles worth covering, I suppose, what firms have done. And I can give a perspective from our focus at Bovril, which is on the wealth sector, so, you know, financial advisors, wealth managers, investment platforms, and the work that they've done to implement and now move into embedding. There's a few interesting bits there. But then the other really interesting thing is what the FCA is doing. Because, of course, what firms want to do is, you know, just enough to please the regulator. And in some areas, I think they've got a valid question. Well, what is it exactly that the regulator wants? And so I think we've seen over the last 6 months, the FCA taking action in certain areas. And people are saying, so that's what fair value means. That's a product or a service where there might be concerns about it, you know, causing foreseeable harm. So that's an interesting bit. So in terms of what we see with our firms, you know, lots of firms did really good work to implement the duty. It's a big ask for people to reappraise all of your products and services, you know, look at whether they're, you know, designed to meet the needs of a kind of clear target market, what the pricing structure is, how it's working for people, and then to look at the other elements such as how you're communicating with customers, whether you're supporting them ongoing. So I think lots of firms had really good projects doing that. I'd say from my perspective, that's led some firms to make some changes in parts of their business, but perhaps not in the core areas, the core revenue earners. So they might have spied customer groups for whom a product or service wasn't the best fit, and maybe they might look at sorting that. Or they may have noticed aspects of their charging model that doesn't work well for certain products or services, and maybe they fixed that. But I don't think many firms, from my perspective, have made big wholesale changes. And that's why I think it's quite interesting to see what the FCA does and then to see how firms then adapt their approaches in line with that. And I suppose a good example would be around investment platforms. There's a big issue in the market, or at least a debate, about whether it was fair for firms to take interest from clients' cash balances, and if so, how much. And lots of firms are saying, okay, we're going to look at this part of our value assessments. But then once the FCA issued a Dear CEO letter saying to firms, this is what we think is okay, this is what we don't like, kind of double dipping where people take a fee on the assets, but also take interest on the cash balance. And firms need to report back to the FCA and what they're doing. That's where you see the real change. And for me, I think that'll be like the drumbeat of the next 12, 18, 24 months. Firms will do their stuff, and they've done some good stuff, but then the FCA will say, okay, in this area, this is what we expect. And then you'll see a kind of consequential further bit of work from firms.
I think that's, no one likes implementing regulation, right? It's always the got to implement something else, something new. And we've seen quite a lot of it across the industry. For consumer duty, this is kind of new to different sectors of the firm. But you're right, and you say, what's the expectation? I think that's what firms are not quite grasping. What I feel like not grasping is, what is the expectation? What is it that we need to do to get there? And I think you're right in saying, in FCA published the Dear CEO, and they said right now this, and it means that people have an angle to kind of drive down. But is that constantly having to wait for the FCA to make those changes and to kind of
not
drive
necessarily
them?
So I suppose, you know, this is a good example of kind of outcomes based, principles based regulation, where rather than saying exactly what firms need to do, the FCA is saying, here are the outcomes we want you to deliver. You've got the flexibility to then work out what that means for you. And some firms like that, that's where we need to get to. Let's work out the best way to get there without being hampered by needing to adhere to this regulation or that regulation. But there are a group of firms who want a bit more predictability. They'd rather be kind of told what's expected and then adhere to that. And that's the tension at the heart of this kind of stuff. So, I mean, when you boil the duty down to its kind of essence, I mean, I don't think there's a lot to dislike. You know, make sure that you're designing products to meet the need of a kind of clearly identified target market. So know who your customers are and know who they aren't. Charge them a fair price. Make sure you give them the information they need to make a good investment decision or purchase decision upfront and ongoing, and then support them throughout the life cycle of product or service. Not much to dislike about that.
Yeah, and you'd think firms would have that already in place.
And some firms do. I mean, you made a really good point earlier when you mentioned that the duty will affect different sectors differently. And by that, you know, some areas already had like detailed product governance regulations. You know, it said, you know, if you're a distributor, you need to do this. If you're a product manufacturer, you need to do this. And they've been in detailed rules in the investment space and in the insurance space since 2018. But other areas like banking, like lending, they haven't had that. And so when the duty comes in, it's probably a bigger uplift. But I would say it's an area that where the FCA probably hasn't supervised the product governance as much as it could, maybe should. And so I think a lot of firms are kind of feeling the bite of this new regulation, which is forcing them to think about things slightly differently for the first time.
And it kind of leads on to, I mean, the idea of the duty is the customer centric now, and it kind of goes down to that, the governance, you know, do you have consumer duty governance? This isn't a once, implement once and done.
No.
This is a forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do hear some firms mentioning kind of consumer duty fatigue. And I feel slightly bad in responding to them to say, well, I appreciate that. You know, it's not been easy, but this is the new state of things, you know. And the FCA has been really kind of clear about this. You know, this is not once and done. And so I think it is, or it will be, a new mindset for some. You know, let's remember, many firms are already in this space. You know, they're doing this stuff. It's at the heart of, you know, good firms run well. But for other firms, perhaps some of the hurdles they need to jump over, some of the steps they need to take to prove it is going to be a bit more challenging. And I certainly sense that some firms think they're doing the right thing, but then they don't quite know how best to document how they've got here, particularly for products and services that have been around for a while. You know, they had a good reason for doing it at some point in the past, and maybe they identified a really clear target market, but over time, maybe some of the people involved in that have gone, maybe that target market shifted slightly, you know, they've gone up market, they've gone down market. Is that a good thing or not? And that's what the duty is forcing firms to think about.
It's a cultural change as well, isn't it? A cultural shift.
Yeah, no, definitely. And this comes back to the point we were talking about a bit earlier around implementation into embedding. So many firms have had like projects to help embed the duty. And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, it's a big undertaking, you know, work out all your in-scope products, work out all the key decision makers, you know, get all the information you need, undertake the assessments, yada, yada, yada. And that's been great. And obviously that got the firms, hopefully, to be mostly compliant by the July 23 deadline. But the risk for me then is that those projects have wound down and it's switched into BAU. And I think for some firms, I get the sense that the rest of the firm, you know, those people outside of the project team might feel a little bit like they've had the duty done to them and they're left scratching their heads. Well, what does the duty mean when I'm handling this complaint or I'm designing this new product or I'm in a compliance area reviewing files? What do these new cross-cutting rules? What is foreseeable harm in this context? And we hear that a lot from firms about that challenge of kind of transposing this into BAU. And I think that'll be a journey. And I think the FCA kind of accepts that as well. You know, there's lots of good work done, but now there needs to be a continuation of that good work, kind of turning it into BAU.
I think that takes time, isn't it? Any regulation that gets implemented, the first kind of 18 months are always get it in, get it down, bed it down, bring it into BAU. And then actually, what benefit does that duty bring? We'll see all the results that come out because soon they're due to publish their results or their annual accounts. So it will change the way firms operate.
I think so. Someone that I know said a really good quote about the duty. This was around the time of implementation. And they said, the duty will never be as subjective as it is now. And his point was, You know, we had the rules, we had the guidance, but we didn't really know what the FCA felt in terms of the rubber hitting the road in certain areas of products or services. And since then, we've seen that, you know, on the first day that the duty was in scope, action on cash savings, you know, a few months later, action on gap insurance, action in other areas. And all of those, I kind of see them as being like way markers, like, okay, the duty means this. And now you can say, ah, in that area, that's something we need to adhere to. But you're right, it's not one and done. And it is this endless, that's probably a bit negative, it's an ongoing cycle of review. So there's two bits here. So there's the kind of board reporting bit, which firms need to do at least annually. Most firms that we speak to, they're targeting July for that, you know, a month, 12 months on from the original implementation deadline. But then, you know, once people have done their product and service reviews, they need to review them on an ongoing basis. So, you know, they need to keep on looking at, okay, you know, if my target market for a particular investment product was X, actually, am I selling it to X? If not, why not? Or if I set the minimum investment amount at £100,000, you know, why have I got some customers in who've got 50, you know, and what do I need to do in response to that? And I suppose that's that bit about it being relentless, you know, the constant need to review, kind of consider and take action. And that's written fairly strongly within the requirements, that ongoing focus.
So just, we've spoken about implementation and, you know, the projects that have happened and stuff. Obviously from a tech firm, you know, we want to be at the forefront of all this. How does tech and kind of innovation kind of come into this now?
Tech must be a kind of underpinning of all of the key duty outcomes, you know, product design, fair value, customer understanding, support. I'll give you a few examples. So one of the things firms need to do before they launch a product or service is do some scenario analysis or stress testing about the potential outcomes. You know, what better way to do that than to use kind of tech to help power your historical analysis, your stochastic analysis of potential future market outcomes. You know, when you're looking at fair value, you know, we see firms doing benchmarking exercise. Why not use tech to bring in and refine a really clear, highly detailed group of your, you know, proper competitors to do that? You know, when you're doing your consumer comms, how are you testing those? You know, how are you analyzing the results? I think tech can be used across all of this. And then finally, in terms of support, well, you know, it's really easy to slip into a habit of thinking that all interaction with clients needs to be, you know, over the telephone or face-to-face. It doesn't have to. You can use tech to carry a lot of the burden here. So you're, you know, providing a really good customer experience, you know, dependent upon the channels that people want, in a way that's really kind of efficient and, you know, hopefully economic, and you're helping meet the kind of duty requirements at the same time. So I think there's a perfect symbiosis here.
So the involvement of tech firms in these projects and in these work, are we seeing more of that? Because historically, tech firms have worked quite well with the financial services industries, and they're used to kind of, you know, kind of hand in hand, really. So where some of the consumer duty stuff sits and falls is tech, when I say tech phobic, not so tech aware or not so tech driven, files and Excel and...
Exactly. And hopefully that'll change. I mean, one of the things that firms also need to do is then to kind of monitor the outcomes that they're delivering and have kind of management information that shows hopefully they're doing the right things and not doing the wrong things. And we know from the discussions we have with firms, that's a bit of a challenge. You know, a lot of firms' MI is based around, you know, evidence of negative things happening or hopefully not happening, you know, complaints, breaches, SLAs linked to core volumes and whatnot. But actually, when you think about what you'd need to demonstrate whether you're delivering a good outcome, that's quite different. And I really think that some of the challenge of doing that at product and service level, going beyond that to then say, as the rules want firms to, what about the outcomes for different customer groups who are using my product? You might have user group A, B, and C. Tech must be there to help do that. And so the FCA has been quite keen to impress upon firms their need to have like a data strategy to fill in the gaps. And the refrain they use, which is a good one, a slightly cheeky one, is that they expect firms MI on customer outcomes to be at least as sophisticated as that for their MI on their kind of profit and loss. And so, you know, firms are, you know, currently we know because we're helping them, like trying to refine their MI packs, and some of them have got gaps that they need to fill.
It's an interesting point, actually. And I think we're seeing a lot more of that, especially from other sectors of the regulator about, you know, get away from Excel, get away from this and kind of move to a tech firm. But then also, you know, in a few months' time, we've got the model risk policy going live as well. So it's yes, move to that, understand it, and then be able to implement it. But yeah.
Well, I think there'd be a necessity as well, a kind of economic necessity to move that way as well, because, and I'm not being critical, but if you've got lots of spreadsheet-driven processes, they're kind of costly to administer. Sometimes the quality of the data can be kind of, you know, varied. If you want to make changes, it's not always easy. And so there's a cost there. And I think with the duties focus on fair value and firms need to look afresh and perhaps somewhat critically at some of the, you know, charges that they're levying for customers, they're going to be looking at where they can, you know, reduce the cost to serve. And while it might be a bit of investment to do so, using tech to drive out inefficiencies and ultimately mean that they can bring charges down in line with whatever new normal there is around pricing in different areas, I think that will be something that drives change as well.
Yeah, and we've got the use of AI in the market as well, and Gen AI. So, and there's a...
But there's a cautionary note from the regulator. So I'm all about, you know, use technology, use it well. But another bit of the duty talks to firms about their use of third parties. So obviously a lot of these firms are not regulated, and it is putting a kind of higher bar on firms. So if they are going to make use of a third party, whether it's their internal IS infrastructure or it's a third party vendor helping to do XYZ, they need to have kind of kicked the tires on it, done their due diligence, know where it's really great, know where maybe there are limitations, take steps to kind of mitigate those. And that's always been around, but I think the duty pushes that a bit further into the kind of into the limelight, I think.
Yeah, and we've seen that a lot more that kind of, like, put that paragraph in and put it right front and center, right? We know you're using it, make sure you know what you're getting out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no reason why this can't work really, really well, but it's just like good risk management. Just, you know who you're kind of getting into bed with, so to speak.
We come up to a year now on the duty, with most firms starting to disclose. What do you see as your last bit of information to the firms? What would you say for them to do?
Sure. I think there's a few things. I mean, firstly, I think as we've said, we're not, this doesn't exist in a vacuum. So firms, I think, need to be alive to what's coming out of the FCA, which will give a kind of gloss or a strong indication of what the standards mean in certain areas. And sometimes those inputs from the FCA might not even be in your sector, but in an adjacent sector, but where you think, oh, you know, they said something about what fair value does and doesn't mean about that product. What does that mean in terms of mine? So I think there's that, you know, don't be alive to the stuff coming out of the FCA. I think the other two big ones for firms upcoming is that need to do that first annual board report. You know, for the board to sign off on that, they need to be given the kind of information to do so. So hopefully firms are front running that, so that, you know, the board is not going to be seeing this for the first time, and that they've got a sense of what they want, what they're getting, any gaps between the two, and firms can take action to try and resolve those in the next few months. And then the final bit is, and this isn't an issue for most firms, but it will be an issue for some, it's the closed product and service deadline. So firms were given a bit longer, another 12 months by the FCA, to do their reviews of those products and services. They've got till July of this year. And so I think hopefully firms are well on their way to looking into those, because it can be quite tricky, given that some of these products are often, you know, many, many years old, to get the information you need to make that assessment and then work out what you might need to do as a result. And sometimes, given the age of some of these contracts, it's going to be difficult to work out and then to undertake any actions that you need, you know, off the back of it. So hopefully firms are in a good place for that at the moment.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. The July deadline, isn't it? July 24 was the closed products deadline. No. Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on.
I know you'll be busy with the year-end report as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been at Bovril for a year, and I reckon 96% of the stuff that I've done has been around the duty, which is interesting. I'm a big kind of product governance fan. I was working on it when I was at the FCA beforehand with the prior regulations. So for me, I kind of really appreciate how essential it is to, you know, running businesses well, getting, you know, the right stuff in front of the right consumers. So yeah, it's been good working on it.
Yeah, and it'll be a good result for everyone as well. Customer-centric.
So, hopefully.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.